You're listening to Hump Day News and Rumors on Mousecapades Radio.
Get ready for something majestic.
The following is an original production of the Mousecapades Radio Network.
Mousecapades Studios. Here are your hosts.
Happy Hump Day, Mousecapades listeners. This is Vicki, and I'm here with Stephanie, Matt, and Samantha. We hope that you're all staying safe, happy, and healthy. This is episode 916, and you're listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
If you're looking to book a trip, we'd be glad to help. You could text Vicki, Matt, Samantha, or myself, Stephanie, at 636-373-4497, and we'd be happy to get with you to design a magical vacation. A small refundable deposit of $200 will hold your Disney resort and ticket package, or I can quote any destination of your choice, so you can contact any of us for those quotes.
So first, before we start this, we are recording on April Fool's Day, but I will not be trying to fool anybody on this show. Let me just tell you how many news stories that I heard when I was researching for today's show that were fake. And I was so angry because I knew it was April 1st and I let myself fall into the trap.
Oh, my goodness. Me too. I'm like, Carnival has a submarine? That's the dumbest thing. Nobody would want to go, oh, April Fool's Day. Oh, OK. That's right.
I can't believe that I let myself fall for it with Caio Paulo anyway, because last year he told us he was engaged and they spent the whole day letting us think that they got engaged and then argue they were getting engaged and married only to have him say April Fool's. And I was so frustrated. So I wrote him because he said, let us know if we got you. And I said, you got me, but this is why I hate April Fool's Day. I said, I still love you and your show, but that was very frustrating to me because I was like so excited. Yes, Disney sounds like they're finally getting on the ball. And then, nope, it was a joke. So we will not be doing that part. However, I am starting with the say it isn't so, just because. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. So we know that Disney is a magical place, but just like every place in the world, magic doesn't mean that you won't have anything go wrong for you. And by that, I mean there are still thieves and pickpockets. No place is safe. And sadly, because people know that it does cost money to go to Disney, they're going to seek those people out just because that's what they do. They want something for nothing, which is very, very sad, but also true. So one guest had just recently posted on Reddit that she's an annual pass holder. She was at Hollywood Studios all day and came back and irreplaceable things were stolen from her car. Now, I didn't hear of anything but the magnets. Now, I'm not belittling the magnets at all. I would be very upset if those were stolen too. But I'm glad to know that it was the magnets and not like they broke a window or they stole items out of the car. I didn't hear any of that. I read the story three times. I didn't see any of that stuff. However, we do know that there have been purses and things that people can see it in your car. They think it's open game for them. They'll break a window, try to get in. They've taken purses and backpacks out of strollers. We've seen people just steal an entire stroller. I mean, crazy. This has all happened since the pandemic, which really frustrates me. The first thing I want to say, though, is if you are an annual pass holder, yes, those magnets are important. But I know I'm on a Facebook group and they specifically tell you that it's really cool to have them on your car, but you should put them on your refrigerator because people steal them all the time, which is really sad to think that people think that's okay. But I mean, I don't even know if it's just kids doing it, but whatever, please don't do that. And then don't leave anything that you think of as any value that might be value to someone else visible in your car. And I mean, that's just something that I've always done, but I mean, the world's worse than it was when I was small. So just saying, take care of your own, because these people that are trying to make their own magic are ruining it for the rest of us.
I wonder if there's a market for like resale on the pass holder magnets.
Maybe.
eBay or something. And so people are stealing them so they can get a cash benefit.
That would be stupid though, because that they would get caught or they could get caught.
I wonder how many people are losing their magnets to the car wash and think they're being stolen.
Oh,
good point.
I 100% am still on board with Disney is beyond safer than most places you can vacation as a family. But I mean, that's just general life. I don't ever keep anything of value in my vehicles. I always make sure they're locked. All the basic things we should all do as adults that function in society. Like, don't leave your purse out in your car with it wide open and your cell phone sitting out and your wallet sitting there like you're asking for it to be taken.
The lady who was pickpocketed all the thousands of dollars she had in her purse.
$1,700. Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago or last week. We were all like, $1,700? Are you crazy?
They stole all this from my purse. Like, why weren't you a little more careful with your purse if you were carrying that amount of cash?
Someone stole all the cash off my dashboard. I don't understand.
Right. Oh, yeah. So I have some exciting news. Again, just like Vicky said, not April Fool's news. This is legit. Disney has confirmed that Freaky Friday 2 is in the works. And reading this made me a little bit aged me slightly because it said it has been over 20 years since that movie came out. And I was like, no, because that, no.
Well, you could be me and it could be the original.
Oh my goodness. No, so 20 years, yes, since the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan for Freaky Friday. The first one. So throughout that time, both Curtis and Lohan have said that they would be up for a sequel. And so it is official. It is happening. Now, this other person that they got to join in, this Nisha Gantra?
Ganatra. I have no idea.
Apparently, she is on some Hulu series of Welcome to Chippendales. Also know nothing about that one. But she, or not she's on it. She directs it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to direct this. And so we are all super duper excited because this has been a long promised project and everybody's just kind of been hanging around wondering when it's going to happen. So this is supposed to be shot in the summer in Los Angeles, and Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, who starred in the original, are in negotiations to reprise their roles as the mother and daughter combo who will find themselves switching bodies and lives. I'm assuming they're just going to grow up and be their normal age in this because that'd be hard to do to try to make them seem like they belong in the same household again. Curtis hinted that a sequel film was in the works early in the morning on March 29th, just hours before the Hollywood Reporter's article. And she posted a photo on Instagram with Lohan with the hashtag FFDEUX. And then Andrew Gunn, who served as producer in the 2003 film, he's also set to return. We do not know who else is set to star in the sequel or what the film's storyline will be, although it wouldn't be Freaky Friday movie without someone switching some bodies, so we know that's going to be happening. At this time, we don't know if Disney's planning on giving Freaky Friday 2 a theatrical release or if it's planning on releasing it straight to Disney Plus. We are just excited to hear this news.
So definitely the woman that gave them the fortune cookies in the first movie will, because she's passed on, and so is the grandpa. So we know they won't be in it. It'll be interesting to see if the brother comes back and the stepfather, because it's Mark Harmon, right?
Yes. If it's over 20 years, I was a teenager when this came out.
Right?
But I'm so excited because I love Lindsay. I'm so happy to see her like back. Like, she's such a good actress, loved her in The Parent Trap. And Freaky Friday, her and Jamie Lee were just so good together.
Yes, they were.
And, like, seeing that, I saw the Instagram post, and it immediately, like, brought, like, a huge smile to my face. Just because knowing how good the first one is, I hope and pray they do this one right, especially since it's been so long.
For sure.
But this is one I haven't seen in a while. I am interested to rewatch it now.
I was going to say, you should watch it with Lucy, she'd probably really like it with all the rock and roll music. She'd be dancing around with Teddy.
Yeah.
We know that it is only the beginning of April, but this week Disney confirmed that the mischievous Sanderson sisters spectacular will be returning to the Cinderella Castle stage show this year. A little early for this kind of stuff, if you ask me. Just a little. The three sisters are back from the dead to throw the best, most evil Halloween party this side of the graveyard. This Hocus Pocus villain spectacular will be presented exclusively during the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. This is a ticketed event that happens on selected nights in the Magic Kingdom from August to October each year. And they usually all sell out because they're awesome. Disney put out a casting call for vocalists to play the parts of the Sanderson sisters. Well, we know that this event doesn't happen for about 4 months. We are excited to know that the Sanderson sisters will be gracing the stage with their hilarity and comedic efforts. It's always a good show. Hopefully they'll change it up a little bit.
So we don't have dates for the party yet, right?
No, it should be May or June.
I'm hoping because we're going in October.
Nice.
And I'm so excited. Chase is already... He knows. He says, when it's Halloween, I'm going trick-or-treating at the castle. So excited. I haven't been there since 2018. So I'm hoping that it does get a little updated. Like, especially now they have the sequel, that maybe they can, I don't know, add some elements to it. But the characters that they had, like the people that played them, they were fantastic when I saw them.
It does feel weird talking about it in April, though. But I get why.
Easter was just over.
Right. But like, people plan their trips. Like I have a lot of my October trips are already booked and people are wanting these things released. Like, when are the tickets so we can buy the tickets?
Right.
So I get why they have to start talking about it now. I just kind of thought they would wait to talk about it a little more until they tell us when the, like, here are the dates for the tickets. And let's talk more about the Halloween party. Just seems a little out of order to me, but.
That's just weird being there in August and seeing pumpkins everywhere.
Yes.
When you're melting.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I'm sweating.
Disney also announced the Oogie Boogie Bash will once again be at Disneyland this fall. If you were thinking about visiting the West Coast to see Disney, you may want to consider booking your trip so that you can be a part of this exciting party. Disney pulls out all the stops for this annual event. The trick-or-treat trails are one of the most popular parts of the event. This is where you can spot some ultra-rare characters as you walk through a spooky scene and enjoy some candy. Last year, we got to meet Judge Doom and Yokai, and yes, it was epic. You may even see a zombie Captain America or Sid from Toy Story. Don't forget to make time for the frightfully fun parade for the Villains Grove maze filled with villainous scenes and enjoy plenty of treats, too. Clearly, there are a lot of things to do at this event. Although Disney hasn't released the 2024 ticket prices yet, we have a pretty good idea of when those tickets will go on sale based on last year's big announcements. First of all, we do know for a fact that Oogie Boogie Bash will return in 2024. Disney confirmed it back in 2023 when it announced 8 big events happening in Disneyland in 2024. Oogie Boogie Bash is set to take place on select dates from August 23rd through October 31st, 2024. As soon as we know more, you know that we will dish the news to you.
So that means the first day is August 23rd. Because usually that means that's the first night.
Right. True.
Yeah.
That's probably one of like the hardest tickets to get of all the Disney events. Like, it's always pandemonium. The systems always crash. But it's awesome to go to.
Matt went last year.
Yeah.
He will love to talk to you about it.
But they don't typically sell out that first day, except for if you're wanting to go on Halloween, that one sells out.
For last year, every party, I think, sold out. Like, they released them, the system crashed, then they had to wait a week to reset. We were lucky, we got them on the very first day, and they sold out in 4 hours.
Wow. All of them?
All of them. Every one.
They don't have as many as Disney World.
Yeah.
Is it smaller capacity, too? Because it's not as big as a park.
No, I mean, it's at DCA, so it's a huge, huge park. But I think they only have maybe 10 of them versus the 22 of Mickey's Not So Scary Party.
I was thinking about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and I was like, it did not sell out. I don't, like, it took a while.
Yeah.
Okay. The Halloween one does, but now I get it. I'm like, I swear I got tickets for people. Like,
you did.
What?
And some of them still had where you could buy on the day of the event as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So since we've recovered from the pandemic, on January 9th, Disney World, as we all know, stopped using park reservations except for pass holders. Well, the reservations were a way for Disney to know exactly how many guests were there and to keep people safe. That's why they did it, until they better understood COVID. Well, we all remember that Disneyland opened much later than Disney World. It was over a year before it reopened. excuse me, and they're not ready to get rid of their reservations at this point. And so beginning, we're recording on the 1st, beginning today, they told guests to make sure that they had made reservations because the calendar said that California Venture was booked for the month of April. So if you go there, if you're going there in April and you've not made your reservations, you will not be going to California Venture unless you have the park hopper. And you can still add the park hopper later, just like you do at World. So I guess if you go ahead and add it, then you'll be fine and you can go in California Adventure. But I was like, that is so crazy to me. I don't think that they've ever told us that at Disneyland.
This just makes me roll my eyes because clearly they are not maintaining how many guests are in the park or controlling how many guests are in the park. They're like, it is insane how many people they let in. And then they want to say that like, oh, but you can hop on over. You want to pay a little bit of extra. We'll let you into the park. Like, really?
Right.
You're just trying. It seems like you're just being greedy and wanting more money to make people get the park hopper to go over to the park. Like that's, you don't care how many people are actually there if you're going to let everybody just hop on over if they pay more. So I.
The park hopper, though, that in California is cheaper than the one in Disney World. I do remember that.
Disney World is so high. It was like $39 the other day to do the park hopper for Genie Plus.
Oh, the multi-park.
Yeah, but it just seemed like last week in general, I would not want to be in Disney World.
Nope. My daughter was there.
Oh, gosh. It was chaos, it looked like.
She did really well. Her trip report will come out Friday. The first part, that part about Disney or Magic Kingdom will not be till next week. But I will tell you, spoiler alert, she did spend $39 a person on Genie Plus. But here's the kicker. She's always gone with me and it's my account that she was using and they made her pay for me and I was not there. They would not let her book her Genie Plus.
They wouldn't let you like take someone off?
Well, she didn't want to go and waste the time that they were going to be in the park to go to guest relations because I said, clearly they can see that I don't have a reservation and clearly they can see that I'm not in Florida. I didn't check into any of the parks. So when they went to Hollywood Studios and when they went to Magic Kingdom, she paid for me and her.
Could she not get on the app and like message? Because there's a messaging thing where she can try to.
She did. She even talked to the concierge at the Pop Century. But they said there was nothing they could do that she needed to go to guest relations. And so she's like, I'm just not going to worry about it now. And Brad was like, well, that's her money because I am not paying her back for that.
Is she an adult?
Right. I mean, they had fun. But I'm just like,
I'm still like stumped. Like, how could you not just unclick? Like, I thought when we buy Genie Plus, we click on the people we want to have it.
Yes.
You could either say all or yeah, you select.
Yep.
But it wouldn't let her.
But
do
when
that.
She went to make her first Genie Plus, it wouldn't let her do it unless she clicked on and paid for me.
That sucks.
And I'm that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm clearly not there.
She needs to be able to fight that. Call somebody and try and get her money back.
An email with screenshots and just the fact that you didn't have a ticket.
I know. Like
right there.
I sure would have enjoyed it, but nope.
So on Saturday night, Spaceship Earth at Epcot closed down at 5 p.m. and it never reopened. None of the light shows happened either. An Instagram user took pictures of the maintenance activity around the closed ride and water was leaking from the sphere and appeared that maybe that was the cause. Spaceship Earth has a gutter system to handle the runoff from the outside of the sphere, like, you know, all the rainwater. So the leak may be coming from inside the ride building. Disney hasn't released any information into what happened to shut down the icon of Epcot. But we will keep our eyes open for any information from Disney. What a bummer for the people who are there.
Yeah, the major bummer.
Yep.
I don't see runoff doing something like that. I mean, that ball gets rained on more than.
Yeah,
right now. It's Florida.
Imagine. Like
it's been through a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. After over 40 years.
We never know what these kind of things. It's all speculation. But I do feel bad for anyone that was there at night. Like, oh, man. All right. When Magic Kingdom opened in 1971, a ticket cost $3.50. Fast forward to the current times, Easter weekend 2024, the tickets were $184. That is a 5,000 157% increase in just 50 years. It's around 100% a year in the past 50 years, which is insane. This price surge isn't limited to single day tickets. Since the pandemic reopening, annual passes have skyrocketed too, with their top tier exceeding $1,450 per person. And if you're a family of five, that is a dent. Mm-hmm. Food and drink prices have soared as well, as long as everything else. Even annual passes have risen to over $1,450 for the top tier. We also know that ticket prices for 2025 have increased. Remember the FastPass system? I hope you do. It was free. But now we have wonderful Genie Plus, and it can cost guests up to $39 a day per person. That adds up. My gosh.
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
That's what Vicky's daughter Keely had to pay on Good Friday, which wasn't so good for Genie Plus. In Disneyland Polaris, they have recently started charging for bags when you purchase thing and for air when you're breathing in return for purchasing the bag. The only way to avoid the cost of the bag is to bring your own bag. You just knit one or something, I guess. That's ridiculous. Disneyland Paris continues to have issues, no wonder, including texting their annual pass holders and asking them not to come to the parks because they're overcrowded. That's hilarious. Huddle me. Could you just stay home? It is busy. Oh, Lord. They've had overcrowding issues to the point that they have created a virtual queue to allow guests that aren't staying at the Disneyland Hotel an opportunity to look around and explore the hotel. While the demand is good for Disney, the park's abilities to handle the large crowds makes it hard to make the added cost to feel worth it. What do we think? Who likes price increases? I mean, Disneyland Paris, that place is, you're going to have to blurt me bad. They have like the best stories, like the people do the craziest things there, like texting. Dude, I don't want to text from Disney to like, stay home, buddy. It's busy.
Entitlement there is the worst Disney park.
Yeah, like the typical French stereotype. That's what you get there. But yeah, like price increases at 5,000% over 50 years. That's probably next to fuel, like gas prices. That's probably the next highest increase I've ever experienced in my life. But we're fools and we'll keep paying.
Yeah, but I don't think fuel's that bad.
Probably not. I mean, that's 100% a year over 50 years. That's a ticket costs $3. You can't buy a soda for that now.
No. And they keep taking things away.
Yeah.
It's like ever since the pandemic, it was, I think, used as an excuse. You know, Magical Express disappeared, which makes sense. Already have a bus there. You still could have done all that.
Yeah.
You know, the FastPass system. And it just, I don't know. I mean, it is hard, especially if you're someone that went prior to the pandemic and you remember what you used to have. Your magic bands used to be included.
Yes.
Now it seems fading magic bands out and forcing everyone to get Magic Band Plus,
which is more expensive.
Or use your phone.
Because it's like, especially like when you go with kids, that's the last thing on your mind is to charge your magic band. You're trying to make sure everything else is smooth. And then if you forget to charge that, then it's just, it is hard. It is very hard to, you know, to still be okay with it. And it seems like though they're just fine to keep upping the prices because people go.
Yeah, the demand, it never hurts. The demand is never hurt.
But charging for a bag, that one gets me. Like, what are you, Aldi? Like, come on.
No, because Aldi has low prices.
Yeah.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, they absolutely aren't. Aldi, like, they can run a whole store with two people there. Like, it's not like Shooks and Walmart that have so many people working. Like, there are two employees and they're doing every single thing in that entire store. So, yeah, they're going to charge you a quarter to get your cart and you're going to have to buy your bags and put it in yourself. But this is Disney. They have a lot of employees. They don't need to charge us for a bag.
At least around here, Disney stores used to charge you for a bag towards the end of their, you know, being open. I remember that they would say, do you want a bag? And it was like 10, 15 cents, depending on the size you got. And sometimes I'd be like, no, it's like a little thing. I can carry it. But here in New Jersey, they charge you for bags.
That's
for everything.
Crazy.
And I want to say Philadelphia kind of does. I'll say at least where I'm at right outside the city. No, I haven't experienced it yet. But like if we go to New Jersey, I forget all the time. And I'm like, luckily, I'll have a stroller with me that I can like shove things underneath. But I mean, I could see Disney World, how much money they'd make.
They wouldn't dare do that. The backlash, the noodle people, it would be all over that.
The noodle people.
Yeah.
I feel like that to me is also like you could easily steal because you're walking around with the merchandise.
Right.
You know, it, like to me, it's like you could easily, yeah, I have it. And what, you have to dig for your receipt or something. Like, I don't know. It's just a bag.
Yeah.
Just give it free.
When you pay $189 for a park ticket and $39 for your Genie Plus, you don't have to charge me 15 cents for the bag.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if you're not a resort guest, you're paying for parking too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so far that's Paris only. So hopefully it doesn't come over to America.
Matt, you cracked me up.
Well, I'm so excited I get to talk about this because this movie is now a favorite with my household, especially with Chase. So we've talked about the 30th anniversary of The Lion King and how Disney plans to really celebrate it at the Animal Kingdom. This week, Disney lets us know that one of the cool anniversary gifts available to guests is a Zazu stuffed plush, and it can sit on your shoulder. It's available for $24.99 plus tax. Zazu is a blue and white hornbill. He has an orange and yellow beak and orange talons. In The Lion King, he is voiced by Rowan Atkinson. Zazu's character works for Mufasa, king of the Pride Lands, but is often sent to look after Prince Simba. The shoulder plush has a magnet inside and a separate magnetic piece that goes under your shirt. Then the plush appears to sit on your shoulder. The plush is the first piece of merchandise officially honoring the film's 30th anniversary. The Lion King was released in theaters on June 15th, 1994, when I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so cute.
I hope they put this on Shop Disney. I really do.
It's going to be like the Remy's. Or
yes.
The...
We have the orange bird.
Okay. That is a cute character.
I've got the Groot.
Groot, baby, little Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for Pascal from Rapunzel. I need that one.
Except for we lost the magnet that goes underneath.
We do too.
Aw.
Yeah, my kids carried around and Chase is like, what does it do? And I'm like,
yeah.
There needs to be something that like connects. Disney, are you listening? Could you do that for us parents? Because, yeah.
The kids lose it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a patent that was filed this week, and it was not on my radar, so I definitely wanted to talk about it. Disney is trying to plan to improve the flying theater attraction, like Soarin', with a greater range of motion. Disney Imagineer Mark Sumner designed the original Soarin' mechanism with an Erector set. The new mechanism references Sumner's original patent, aiming to improve upon the original design. So the updated flying theater attraction would be more aggressive, with heaving, pitching and rolling to simulate turbulence. One version is similar to the current version of Soarin', with guests loading when the seats are on the ground. The system would then raise guests into the air thanks to retracting cables to propel them along a curved railed track. Another version described in the patent shows loading taking place above and guests then being launched downwards. This version, the seats could pitch back and forth. Another version shows the seats rolling from side to side. These improvements are intended to replicate the motion of a non-specific flying machine. Having the ability to replicate motions that are more aggressive than the traditional floating or gliding experience. I don't know about you guys. I'm afraid it might make me sick.
Nope, I'm ready. Sign me up. I want to dive bomb like a falcon. It would be awesome.
The idea of it is awesome. I'm just like, I'm moving back and forth. I'm going up and down. I'm just
I can barely handle Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'll probably throw up after this, but I'm still down.
I mean, Soarin' already sometimes gives people just a little bit of
motion.
Like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to take next level, like that's where you get Flight of Passage, which is my favorite. Like I love Flight of Passage, but I think this is sounding like they're even going to try and go above that with the amount of movement that they're doing. And yeah, it does make me slightly worried that while it might be fun, it also might be like a one and done type thing, or like one and done each time you're there, like, okay, I've got to have my Dramamine. I'm going to go ahead and give this a try. I'm probably going to regret it for the next hour afterwards, but
send Keith first.
I just hope that's not what it is.
Tell Keith he's brave.
Like, cause some of it sounds like they want to like make you like lean further out, you know, or stuff like that. Like that could be cool. And if they like speed it up, yeah, that'll make you sick.
They could have two versions, kind of like, was it Mission Space?
Yes.
Yeah, orange and green.
Orange and green.
Yeah. So you could pick, you know, you just want a relaxing experience, or do you want the thrill seeking?
The one where you kick your feet while you're flying through the air, or the one that you like hang on like you're on a roller coaster?
What, the white knuckle version?
Oh, man. That's a good idea, though. I would think that that'd be great if they could do that. Give us two versions of it.
Yeah.
So over at Animal Kingdom, the Restaurantosaurus is going to be hosting live musicians to entertain the guests. So there has been a musician who has been carrying a guitar and singing. He appears in the mornings for just about 30 minutes, but the showtimes aren't posted publicly like everything else is. And he doesn't stay in one place. He wanders around the restaurant to speak to different guests. And he asks questions like how guests know each other and about their jobs. He then makes up songs about them on the spot. Restaurantosaurus is a quick serve restaurant located in Dinoland, USA at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Its description reads, delight in prehistoric paleontology student humor as you dine on an Angus burger, chicken nuggets, and more in a dino-themed dorm. Enjoy ice-cold beverages and safari amber draft beer. According to cast members, the musician is an intern at the nearby Dino Institute. Restaurantosaurus is open daily from 10:30 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. I think this is a great addition to Animal Kingdom. I just wish that they would post those times because this would make me want to go there to eat if I could be guaranteed to meet this guy.
Yeah, that sounds, it sounds fun.
Yeah, I like a good improv song thing.
All right, see, we're going to talk about something that Disney needs to give their attention, even though we don't always know if it's a promotion is about to start or guests are trying to sign up for a Run Disney event. Disney does. We're hoping and praying that Disney will start focusing on their IT department. When we get online, we shouldn't have to get the spinning wheel of death, which if you're familiar with, it is, it'll crush your soul. We shouldn't get disconnected. We shouldn't have all these basic issues with such a giant company. The IT department should be like the simplest thing. We shouldn't have to worry that the lack of IT preparation should cause us not to get a promotion or tickets for a special event, dining reservations. I can attest that I've been kicked off numerous times. You go to select it and boom, it boots you off. You go to get your time and now it's gone. You're frustrated because you woke up at 5:30 in the morning to get that table service you have to have. We're asking that you, Disney, we are asking that you test your programs multiple times to prepare for an outage before one happens. You know, maybe run it through a few tests before you release it to the hundreds of thousands of people that are going to flood the system at once. Disney is a huge company, and if a smaller company can afford IT with few to no outages, then Disney should be able to do this like it's nothing. We know there have been updates recently and that things have been a little better. However, we hope that the IT department is learning and gets their basically gets your stuff together because it's annoying.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. They should have the greatest website, the easiest to navigate website. You know, everything should be amazing like the parks are, but their IT is just, it's horrible.
Lacking.
Beyond lacking. It's, I mean, any, if you know a ticket's going for sale, Oogie Boogie Bash, Mickey's, you know there's going to be an issue. You know you're going to be on hold for 5-6 hours. Like, that should never happen.
Yeah, I remember when annual passes went on sale last year and Gina and I were on. I was at school and luckily I had just finished teaching when it said, it's your turn. And I know it was like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
My kids, at that point, I was a classroom teacher. And so my kids were working and I saw, it's your turn. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because otherwise, if I was teaching, I would feel guilty if I said, just hold on 1 second, kids. I got to buy my annual pass.
I've been on hold for 4 hours.
The Disney IT guys, they need to intern with whoever handles the IT for Taylor Swift tickets, because that's probably like the craziest thing ever. Not that I know from experience, just from what I've heard. They could help each other.
Like every other company has like a go live where they're like prepping and like running mm-hmm. their things before just to make sure it goes without any bumps along the way. But I feel like Disney, like, do you even try? Do you just like, this will probably work?
Yeah, that's what I said. We're done for the day. Just send it out.
Yeah.
A new live show debuted in World Celebration Gardens at Epcot this week. Forces of Nature by Anti-Gravity features aerial acrobatic performers representing Mother Nature and different elements. Crew members installed a new set piece in the Inspiration Garden of World Celebration. It's a large orb made of green poles representing Earth. Strips of green and blue fabric hang across its top. The Earth sits on a black platform atop a bronze base, which matches the nearby tree-like structures. Small circular platforms jut out of the base. During the performance, the Earth and the black platform spin. The performer is in green garb that represents Mother Nature. She takes the stage during the show, utilizing the fabric at the top of the globe. The performers then climb over the globe as it spins, performing impressive acrobatic feats to music. Anti-Gravity Orlando has worked with Walt Disney World several times, including for the Art Defying Gravity Show during the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. Forces of Nature is about 16 minutes long. Times are not publicly posted, but guests saw performances at 10:15 and 11:15 a.m. on Sunday. The elements other than Mother Nature represented are ice, wind, rain, and fire. After the performance, the performers pose so the guests can get great pictures.
This looked really cool. There's a little video you could watch.
I don't know why they don't post times though. Like,
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I feel like at least you can run out, you know, you want to see it, but what are you going to have to do? Keep running back and forth to see if it showed up yet?
I don't know. They don't have times I listed for Pluto and Daisy that are in that same area now either. They just, well, we were sitting there for like 45 minutes waiting for the girls to ride Guardians of the Galaxy. And we got to see Pluto like four times. And finally, I was like, we should have said one of these times, yes, we're waiting for Pluto. Because they'd be like, are you waiting for Pluto? And we're like, no, we're just waiting for our daughters. Are you waiting for Pluto? No, we're just waiting for our daughters. I'm like, we should have got our picture with Pluto.
Yes, you should have.
Are you planning a trip to Disney World in the near future? If so, Disney's released some news to help guests prepare for the hurricane season that runs from June 1st to November 30th in Florida. The peak of the season is mid-August to late October. And according to AccuWeather forecasters, the Atlantic is expected to witness between 20 and 25 named storms. Now, that does not mean they're going to turn into a hurricane. That's including tropical cyclones with sustained winds of at least 39 miles per hour throughout the 2024 season. So Disney World guests can proactively prepare for the potential impacts of the Atlantic hurricane season by staying informed, planning, and taking necessary precautions. Prepare yourself just in case a hurricane does happen while you're at Disney World. Guests should also remain flexible. They need to be understanding that weather-related disruptions such as ride closures, modified park hours, or even cancellations may occur. Establishing a communication plan with travel companions ensures everyone stays connected during the emergency. By taking these proactive measures, Disney World guests can better prepare themselves for the potential impact of the hurricane season, providing a safe and enjoyable experience during their visit. If you've been listening for a while, you probably know that Stephanie and I were both in Orlando prior to Hurricane Ian, where Stephanie asked Vicky before we left, are you worried about the hurricane? And I said,
what hurricane?
Because Steph was like, the one they're talking about. Steph was very fortunate to be able to get back to Missouri before the hurricane hit. I was not so fortunate. My flight was on a Wednesday, but the airports had been shut down by Tuesday afternoon or right after Steph left. And so I could not get a plane home until that Saturday. I will tell you, if you have not listened to the show, that is the place you want to be because they have generators and their cast members have been trained beyond trained how to deal with guests all being in the resort. We were in a deluxe resort, which was a definite blessing. We didn't have to leave the building at all. And so they have like brown bag lunches and everybody eats the same thing. And it's not the food that you maybe thought you were getting, but you are safe. So I hope that this never happens to anyone just because it was more scary for our family than I think it was for us, especially the group that I was with. We slept right through it, which is sad for some people that didn't do that and weren't so lucky. But if you happen to be there during a hurricane, do not freak out. Disney is going to take care of you. That's the safest place you can be.
Okay, so it's April, and you know what that means. That means that Gideon's Bakehouse has a new cookie of the month. This month, the returning cookie is the white chocolate macadamia nut cookie, and this one kind of has a twist to it. It's gotten a little revamp. It's got a coating of macadamia nut crumble sprinkled on top, and then it has Gideon's homemade salted caramel baked right into the cookie, which is a twist, if you ask me. I'm used to white chocolate macadamia nut, not with salted caramel, but I would absolutely go for one of those. These cookies are sold every day while supplies last, and I will tell you, they do run out of their cookie specials. So the specialty cookie is something that if you go too late, you might not get a chance to get it. They do limit these to 2 per customer. And they are also going to be bringing back a brand new cake of the month as well. This is not a white chocolate macadamia nut anything. This one is completely different. You can go to any Gideon's location on Wednesday and Saturdays throughout the month to check out the cake of the month. And this one is a pineapple dream cake. It's made of their classic vanilla cake. And then it's frosted with pineapple buttercream. And on the inside, it's layered with house-made pineapple jam and pineapple caramel, and then some brown butter caramel crumbles on top. This month's cold brew is a limited edition nitro banana cold brew. Can't go wrong with Gideon, so make sure that you are stopping by there if you get a chance to be at Disney Springs. It's our favorite.
Okay, Disney, we feel like you've been listening to us in the past couple of years. If you have, as agents, we have a very special request. We would like for you to make it possible to book multiple rooms for families, you know, the biggest supporter of your company. That's all, you know. And we'd like to make that possible for in one transaction on the Disney travel site. So people come to us with large families. We can just boom, 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 book them all the rooms they need. When we're booking multiple room trips now, we have to quote and or book the trips separately or call into Disney to have them help us book multiple rooms. We feel like this would be very easy, simple fix. Please make this possible. We don't have to call in so much, and it should make our lives a lot easier as agents. We don't mind talking to cast members. We actually love that, but it would allow the Disney call line cast members to not have as many people wanting to help them with this issue. We would also like something that we could click on to say if the families or friends want to be in joined rooms, like a lot, most cruise lines have that option. We also appreciate you trying to make the Disney experience better for all of us in general. Thanks so much, people at Mousecapades. But I mean, I can remember dealing with this when I was young, doing booking trips and helping people, like, why aren't there multiple room options? I can do that on Expedia. I need 2 rooms.
Yes.
For my 4 guests, you know, instead of, well, here's one reservation and put one kid and one adult under it, book another room with one adult and one kid under it, and hopefully you'll get a room that's connected. Like, come on, people. This is like the number one family destination on the planet.
Right.
And yet it's like the only one that doesn't offer that.
Yeah.
Goes back to that IT, like that we were talking about.
Bingo.
Get on it.
Chop, chop.
Figure this out. It's been done. We know it's very, very possible because everybody else does it. So.
Well, I know it's possible because if you guys have been on the phone line recently, the last thing that I had to do, I did it completely electronic. Like the person, I never talked to a real life person. It was all through a robotic. Thank you.
Really?
Yes. And I added on to someone's trip. I said what I was adding on. They told me the cost. They asked for yes or no. They did. I mean, it was very efficient. And I was like, this is weird. Okay.
Interesting.
Huh.
But yeah.
Did you have to hold for forever for it?
No. 5 minutes.
Nice. Nice.
So when the person came on, I was ready for either a quiet person or a person I couldn't understand or something like that. But it was a robotic person and it was super fast.
They probably do that now because of the call volume.
I don't know.
Well, again, they would have less call volume if they did this.
But somebody had to program that is what I'm saying. So if they can program that, we know they can program the DTA.
We like to share tips with you to help make your Disney trips run smoother. Well, we have a couple to share with you today. Number one is pack Ziploc bags, both gallon sized and sandwich size. You can put popcorn in them and refill your popcorn bucket so you can have popcorn in your room at night. If you don't eat all the meal, then you can save it for later. You can also use a Ziploc for that. If you know your child is going to go into the splash pad or water, you can pack them a change of clothes and then you will have a place to put their wet clothes. The ideas are endless. If you want more Ziploc tips, simply message us on our Facebook page. Number 2 is a pashmina, which is a really soft scarf. It's lightweight and won't add much to a suitcase, but it could be rolled up and used as a pillow on the plane or in the stroller. It can provide shade for the stroller and or privacy for a baby toddler that is sleeping. It makes a nice thing to snuggle up with in the stroller or even at bedtime. If there is something that you are wondering about, please feel free to reach out to us and we'd be glad to help. I can also say we bring the Mousseline blankets, so that way, like when, with Chase, like, you know, his little legs were out in the sun during nap times. I would just put that over him since it was lightweight, because, you know, we went when it was very hot, and at least his stroller covers him really good, but just not that part. So he was really good, you know, keeping something like that on him. And again, easy to pack up too.
I hadn't heard anybody say the pashmina thing. I thought that was really a good tip.
Sounds fancy.
Or if a restaurant's cold.
Well, I was like, why do they need a pashmina? It's Disney World. But then when I read on, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. But yeah, the Ziploc bags, we always say, bring Ziploc bags. Yeah.
Everywhere I go.
Those Gideon's cookies.
Yeah, because Kaylee's friends were all like, yeah, you have done this for a while. Yeah. Well, thank you, listeners. We greatly appreciate you hanging out with us each week. Thanks also to everyone that participated in the Disney World March Madness bracket that we put out on Facebook. We are excited to start presenting the results. They actually will not be aired until April 19th. And I know that's not March anymore, but you know, we're always a day late, dollar short. We just wanted to still do it. And hopefully you had as much fun as I did. I don't know that I will make it that hard next year, though. I didn't really look at it when I was making it this time, other than to make sure it was two rides that were equitable, and it made it really challenging.
You did a good job. If you're interested in being a guest on our show, or you have a question or a comment, just text us at 636-373-4497. You can check us out on our social media account, The Mousecapades Podcast on Facebook.
And be sure to listen to Friday's show. We'll be sharing the first of Kaylee's trip. And if you'd like a free quote, you can contact Vicky, Matt, Samantha, or myself, Stephanie, at 636-373-4497.
As always, thanks for listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
Well, everybody, I think it's about that time. Disney love.
Hurry back.
It's a small world after all.
Have a magical day, my friends.
Look all around us, life now will be so full of song, love, and laughter.